Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's today's spoken edition of Wired.
The real-time crack-up of the GOP is happening right now on Twitter by Marcus Holson. After nominating Donald Trump, the Republican Party was always going to face a reckoning. But no matter who won, that reckoning was supposed to happen after Election Day. Well, it's come early, and it's unfolding in real time on Twitter. Less than a month before polls open, the GOP nominee is in open political warfare with his party. The Trump campaign felt good about its candidate's debate performance Sunday night, set against the backdrop of some of the most depressing and despicable rhetoric in the history of electoral politics. But instead of mourning after reports of Trump's supposed political resuscitation, House Speaker Paul Ryan's de facto disendorsement of Trump in a conference call with congressional Republicans dominated the news cycle. Politico first tweeted, "Breaking, Ryan to House lawmakers, I won't defend Trump." Surprising no one, Trump responded quickly to Ryan's abandonment on, where else, Twitter. From Trump, "Paul Ryan should spend more time on balancing the budget, jobs, and illegal immigration, and not waste his time on fighting Republican nominee." And so it was on. The frame of reference here, of course, is the video leaked to the Washington Post on Friday in which Trump brags about sexually assaulting women. For many top Republicans, the tape was the cover they needed to abandon him once and for all. Within hours of the audio coming out, they abandoned Trump, but others waited to see if his debate performance could somehow salvage his tanking campaign. In the worst of all possible outcomes for the GOP, Trump did well enough to rouse the support of his base, a base down-ballot GOP candidates need to stay competitive in House and Senate races, while doing nothing to appeal to the moderate swing voters he needs to actually win the presidency. Here's the New York Times conservative columnist Ross Douthat on Twitter. "The Republicans get what they deserve. He did well enough that they're definitely stuck with him." It would be bad enough for Republicans if they were merely stuck with a candidate who seemed likely to lose badly, as Trump seems poised to do. In the first major national poll since the release of the Trump sex assault brag video, the Wall Street Journal and NBC News found Clinton ahead by 11 points in a four-way race. A double-digit gap is more than enough to drag down-ballot candidates, too. But simply failing isn't apparently enough for the Trump campaign. It's actively gloating in the GOP's disarray. Check out Trump campaign spokeswoman Katrina Pearson. "I can't keep my phone charged due to the mass volume of texts from people all over the country who will vote Trump but down ballot not so much." And here's Washington Post national political reporter Robert Costa, one of the key journalists to whom Trump insiders turn to dish. Meanwhile, Trump circle gloating, privately mocking elected R's who are agonizing. One laughed and said, "We don't care." But the battle between Trump and the GOP wasn't just unfolding online and in the press. It has literally also spilled into the streets. Check out this tweet from Tara Settmeyer. Happening now, pro-Trump rally in front of the RNC HQ in D.C. Unbelievable how ignorant some of the signs are. The GOP must reject this crap. In the meantime, some of the nation's most powerful Republicans appear paralyzed. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has spent most of the presidential race trying to have things both ways, condemning Trump's offenses while making tepid excuses and refusing to disavow his party's candidate. This morning, 4 weeks before the election, he had nothing to say, as noted in a tweet by Stephen Olmacher. "This is remarkable. Mitch McConnell tells Chamber of Commerce in Kentucky, I don't have any observations to make about the presidential election." Trump's running mate Mike Pence made the rounds early Monday, acting like everything was fine. "Great to be back on the trail in North Carolina," he tweeted. "Americans have a choice this election between two candidates and two futures. Let's choose to hashtag MAGA. But leading conservative hashtag Never Trumper Steve Deese, an Iowa radio host who backed Ted Cruz, had a different assessment of the stakes today for the GOP. Here are three in a series of Deese tweets. Number 10, you're going to see people want to have a clean conscience rather than swallow their bile and vote for a loser. 11, when people say, I don't want to hear it at the Thanksgiving get-together if Trump is just going to lose anyway. 12. That's how you go from a bad loss to a catastrophic one. Up and down the ballot. Everyone is in danger now. This election, it's been especially hard to distinguish hyperbole from a clear-eyed assessment of dramatic change. Maybe come November 9th we'll start to see a return to the banal in American politics, but right now one of the country's two major political parties is presently falling apart. And thanks to Twitter, everyone gets to watch.